Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to be here. And to echo Mr. Viles, we thank God for a second day of strength and togetherness and a chance to love God and each other and learn more about his great purpose. And today, brethren, I speak about loyal believers, believers who believe for a reason, not just to know or to believe, but to use what is understood and to grow from it. And the SPS that we can excel, that we can all excel in that way as loyal believers. Loyalty is a quality in which one feels and shows belief in someone else. The feeling is usually mixed with concern, a true interest in that other person. And that produces encouragement, strength and satisfaction to the one that we believe in. They accept that, and it makes them feel good, makes them feel accepted, it makes them feel wanted, it makes them feel that what they're doing is something that you're profiting from, that we all are profiting from. And usually we feel some measure of love for that person, don't we? We're supporting them because we think there's something good about them, and we want to encourage that. Now, it doesn't mean that loyalty is always well placed. Many times we place loyalty in the wrong person, and they would use that for their own benefit. And we see it around us every day, don't we? We see it in politics, in government, in the business world, and even among sometimes family and friends. It's a common thing. A person may run for office just to satisfy and build up himself, make things good for him and for his own, and not really care about the people that are supporting him and trying to build him up. Once their business is done, that's good enough for them. When we are true believers of our Lord and our God, his work and the things that he is bringing about, we can't go wrong. We are then supporting those that we are supposed to support, because from them comes all the good. When we support people who are not loyal, what are we doing? It is irresponsible, because the people who are not loyal and don't care about others, they're hurting others. They're hurting others. It is harmful, because when you hurt, you're not being built up, you're being taken down. It is wasted, because what good is evil? We don't need evil. We need to go forward and be lifted up. So as a result, it ends in disaster. But when we are a believer in the Lord, that loyalty enhances and encourages good works. Our aim and goal is to please God in a way he may lead us, to avoid evil gain and seek to do his will, knowing that this would build up and help everyone. The scriptures tell us of loyal believers who set the pace for us. And these are usually the characters that we read in the Word, in the Holy Bible. The examples that were set for us, which we can follow. We always have the Word before us. It's available to everyone today. And we can follow and see exactly who was doing the right thing and who wasn't. So there are a lot of believers and some very popular, but we must know that there were others who were sometimes just barely mentioned. But they were great believers too, loyal believers too. And we will look at a couple today. Now we know of Joseph, who ruled Egypt after much suffering. He was a true believer. It was in his heart. He held on. He did not give up. We know of Moses and his brother Aaron, who led Israel out of Egypt with great trials and difficulty, but they stuck to it. We know the loyal apostles who faithfully served the Lord. They worked hard. They were ridiculed. They were laughed at. They were called names. They stuck to it. Faithful believers. We know of Job, who in his great pain and suffering refused to say any bad thing about the Lord. He refused to say any bad thing. Instead, he said, though he slays me, I will trust him. Loyal believer. We know of David, who in spite of his mistakes, repented and steadily grew closer to God for the rest of his life. He made his mistakes and then they were done. He put them aside and he went on. He grew stronger and stronger, and God called him a man after his own heart. We know of Joshua and Caleb, who was ready and willing to fight the giants in the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey which the Lord had given to them. They believed. We don't care how big these guys are. The Lord said we can go in. The Lord said we can take them out. Let's do it. Great believers. And these were all great believers. They loved the Lord. They went to great lengths to prove it. But there are some who are less mentioned. And I've chosen three simple women to show the quality of true belief as examples that we can follow. The first one, the woman with the flow of blood. Her name was not even mentioned in the Bible. And just this short story is all that we're told about her. Two, the woman who gave her last two mites as an offering in the house of the Lord. Two mites is all she had. She gave it. The woman to whom the prophet Elisha provided oil as a means of paying off her debts and having enough to live on. These three ladies we will look at today. First one, the woman with the flow of blood. And Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 43 through 48, tells us that short story. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, but could not be healed by any of them. 12 years, a long time, suffering with an issue of blood. She suffered for 12 years. The experts couldn't find what the problem was. No one could help her. She was considered chronic and incurable. Verse 44 says, she came up behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, her issue of blood stopped. She came up and touched the border of his garment. Her issue stopped. Now, there are people all around. People who are looking, people who would see her. She thought about all that, but she trusted. Let me just, I heard a phone, and I wouldn't like it to be mine next, so let me just turn down this volume. And she did not care. She knew. I don't know if she knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but she knew that this prophet who is teaching everybody and helping everybody, this is a true man. This is a true prophet of God, and I will just touch the hem of his garment, and I will be healed. And she did it, and she was healed. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng you and press you. And do you say, who touched me? Jesus came to earth to give. He came to earth to give, and what he was given was spiritual and strong and true, and it was in him, and he knew when any of it left him. He knew when it left him. I guess he knew who touched him, but he wanted to show the crowds the power of true belief, which this woman was displaying. He wanted to show the strength of belief and the strength of such a person. He wanted the crowds to understand her great belief in this matter. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. He felt virtue go out of him. He was showing them it was impossible for someone to do this. It was possible for someone to do this if their faith is strong enough. The belief takes great faith. Takes great faith. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, she declared unto him, and before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. She had the belief, she had the faith. She took that act, and Jesus commended the act, and she was healed. And even praised. She was even praised by Jesus for it. The second one, the woman who gave her last two mites as an offering in the house of God. Mark, the 12th chapter, 41 through 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. It didn't mean the same to them, even if they were casting in much more than the average person. It didn't mean that much to them because they had much. They had much more. They had a lot left to live on. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. I want to tell you something about the value of a farthing. Most of us, quite a few of us here, grew up under the British system. And we used pounds, shillings, and pence. A, A penny is not like a penny in the U.S. A penny in the U.S. is like is 1 cent. A penny under that system is 2 cents. A half a penny. We had half pennies as I grew up. Is half of that. But guess what? A farthing is half of that. So a farthing is like a quarter of a penny. That's what she had. That was all she had in the world to live on. She had two of them. And she gave them both. And he called unto him his disciples, Jesus did. He said unto them, truly I say unto you, that this poor widow, she has cast in more than all they that have cast into the treasury. For they all cast. They cast in of their abundance, but she of her want cast in all that she had, even all her living. She had nothing left. She was going home, nothing to eat, nothing to depend on. But she depended on whom? She depended on God. She knew that God would bless her and take care of her. And that two farthings was not a loss. She knew how desperately she needed it. But she had that belief in her heart that everything would be okay. She knew the true value. And she knew that her God would take care of her. And I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. Now, the scripture does not say, but it does not have to. We know that her faith was great. Her faith and belief was great. Her faith and belief was great. And the woman to whom the prophet Elijah provided oil as a means of paying off her debts and having enough to live on. And we'll find that in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 7. 2 Kings, 4th chapter, 1 through 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah. Elijah the prophet. She came to him saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. This is a prophet's wife, the sons of the prophet. He died, and she was left behind with her two sons. Didn't have enough to pay her bills, to support them, to do the things that she needed to do. So she came to the man of God, and she told him this. Now, they were respected. The sons of the prophets, they were respected. They were well trained. They were the females who would be setting the example for the rest of the community, for the other young ladies. But they found themselves in this position now, and she was going to lose her sons to be bondmen. But her faith. Her faith was great. She went to the man of God, believing he could do something to make things better. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you got in your house? And she said, your handmaid has not anything in the house except a pot of oil. That's all she had, a pot of oil. She had a pot of oil, but she believed in a God, and she believed God would do something about it through this man who represents her, who represents him. So she came to him and presented her case, and I'm sure she did it with confidence that something was going to be done. So then he said to her, go, borrow these vessels from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. He's saying, get as many vessels as you can get. Borrow them and bring them back here. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons. Sorry, I missed a verse here. And when you are coming, you shall shut the door upon you, and you and your sons, and shall pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside that which is full. Gave a procedure to follow. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. So she's pouring the oil vessel by vessel. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not one more. And the oil stopped. The oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said to her, go, sell the oil, pay your debt, and live you and your children on the rest. And we know that oil was expensive. Oil was expensive, and he gave her enough oil to pay the debts that she owed and to have enough to live on. And these three ladies, they showed so much faith, so much belief, setting that example for us. And we know that we can follow it without fear. We can follow it knowing that what God did for them, he'll do it for us. So we need to examine the word closely to find the characters who showed that love and belief in God. After identifying them, we need to study their work and use their lives as patterns for our own.